Hey, everybody, Sarah Grillo here. And this episode of the Sarah Grillo podcast is called Less is More for Sure. And it's about how financial advisors are messing up their websites. And you're going to learn how you're doing it in a minute. But first, I have to introduce my guest, Jared Gold, a website expert who helps build professional websites quickly and cost effectively. I've worked with Jared before. He's fantastico. And his websites are super easy for clients to maintain. So his brands are Brevity for more established firms and Website by Tonight for simpler sites like new firms and solo practitioners like many of you financial schmidschmeisers are. So, yeah, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you, Sarah. Great to be here.
Yeah, so let's roll. Now, I want to ask a question before I get into the show. How many advisors listening to this podcast look forward to that website upgrade? The answer is nobody. Zilch, nada, zero. And the reason is that the reason people would rather use someone else's toothbrush than upgrade their websites, although many, many advisor websites need it, is that it is analogous to climbing up a mountain, whereas it really should be like riding your bike down a hill. It should be much easier than many advisors make it. And I'm going to tell you how difficult they're making it. But Jared, I think you probably know the answer. How are advisors messing up their websites and making the process harder for themselves? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the amount of content that they're putting up there on the site. Yeah, take it away! Woo-hoo-hoo!
Absolutely. I feel bad. I'm an energetic guy, but I can't compete with you. I'll do my best here.
It's not a competition, man. We're partners.
We are.
Isn't that what it says on your website? The team, the website partner kind of a thing?
That's true.
Live up to it, buddy. Yeah.
Good deal. So, you alluded to it in that brief bit there. So, in general, less is more. So, I think a lot of advisors and really businesses as a whole get ahead of themselves by thinking Rome was built in a day. So they need every bit of information possible.
It's painful.
It's very painful, yeah. And
even to compliment that, there's an ambulance going right outside my window that a lot of you are probably hearing that I attracted by alluding to this painful experience that someone is probably having in New York City or my neighborhood, and the ambulance is going to.
Right. I think that's accurate.
I'm so on top of it. Okay.
So in general, advisors like, and most, a lot of businesses in general really like to throw in the kitchen sink. Oh, what's every possible detail and every possible question someone might ask me? And then on top of that, you know, maybe get caught up in thinking of every bell and whistle and, oh, should I even have a newsletter? I don't have 10,000 email subscribers, all that. And these all kind of correspond because you're putting the cart in, the cart in front of the horse.
Whatever that is.
So in general, less is more. And really what most businesses and solo practitioners, such as advisors, need is a simple brochure website. And with really the point of that being, maybe home services, about, contact. I recommend a blog and an email newsletter. You know, hiring someone like yourself to do that, but you know, that is not even version one, right? That is not even a version one. The version one is just the home services, about, contact, and really, it's a way for people to, because people, what is the first thing people are going to do when they hear about you? They're going to Google you or go to your website. So it's really an extension of your first impression. Maybe even before they sit down to meet with you on an intricate note. And I think the way to think about it is, you know, let's say you leave a great impression when you meet the person for 3 to 5 minutes at some sort of event, or they're referred to you via email, and you leave a great first impression, then they go to your website and they're overwhelmed or things look out of date or old. It's going to sour that and possibly cost you that intro conversation and ultimately that client. So it's important that people get that good feeling from your website as a continuation of your brand. And hopefully they like it enough to say, hey, you know what? This person might be a good fit to solve my financial problems or strategize with me. I trust them. I'm happy to request a free intro call with them or free intro sit down, which is what every advisor really wants. You know, I think they're confident.
No, they don't. They want to sell the business through the website.
Right.
I mean, then that's what the whole problem is. Okay, financial advisors, it's not a marriage. It's a date you're looking for here, okay? You're just looking to get the person's attention, have that cup of coffee in Starbucks, whatever, have a little date. You're not looking to have them sign the contract. You don't need to do that, okay, over the website. That's not the point of the website. The point of the website, just like the point of that, like, match.com interaction, is to give the person a feeling, and you use the word feeling, Jared, and I like that, thank you, that will give them a feeling that is strong enough to motivate them to take the action of contacting you to ask for more information. And maybe it's not a meeting, maybe it's a newsletter. Whatever it is, the feeling leads to the action, and that's the point of the website. It's not to prove that you are the most credible and the best financial advisor out there, because, to be honest with you, the content doesn't even stack up to that, because all y'all on your websites don't have me writing your blogs. Well, some of you don't, some of you do, but some of you don't. And so your blogs aren't good, because it's like, oh, how to do a Roth IRA conversion. Really? I never knew that. Like, no, like every financial advisor isn't out there talking about it. Like, it's like you can't, there's not enough good content out there on the website, but yet there's so much of it. So that it's not gonna work. The marriage is not gonna take place. You're gonna get left at the altar, financial advisors.
and well said. And I completely agree. I mean, I love that metaphor. It's a you know, requesting a date, not a marriage type thing. And I tell people the same kind of concept all the time, in terms of you don't need every single detail on there, because they're not making that big transaction or commitment over the website. And to be honest, if someone was willing to do that, they're probably kind of insane. Hey, I'll let this person manage all my money. I've never chatted with them. So I completely agree, is that you're just having enough important content to optimize to get them to go on that date with you, if you will, and just start the conversation and get a feel for one another on if you might be a good fit to do business together.
Right. And it's like, how many details about you do you think the prospect really cares about? First of all, they don't care about you. They care about them. Okay. There's two places that they're going to look on your website. Ready? I'm going to tell you all. They're going to look at your homepage, right? Which is why you have to get the main points across on the homepage, which are, who are you? What do you do? And how can it help? Right? You've heard that before. It's a cliche, but I actually do believe that. But I just, like, if you could say it could, okay. So I have four kids under 5 years old. I literally have four kids under 5 years old. A lot of times, because I just had a baby, I'm typing with one hand on the computer. So this has actually been remarkably efficient for me, because it's made me have to communicate with the least amount of words possible. Like, if I could communicate in one sentence, I would do it. And it's actually made my business so much better, because when I communicate briefly, people communicate back to me briefly. Like, one of my clients, right? Like, I'm working on a project, and like, I'm doing part of it, and someone else is doing another part of it. And like, so I'll set up the hook, like, I'll get the lead interested, and then the company will take it from there, and they'll do the follow-up. And they're sending these like lengthy emails. And I'm like, come on, like, no one's going to read that. No one has time. Nobody cares about you. No, nobody cares. I'd hate to say it. Here's what they care about. If they come to your website, they're gonna look at the homepage and figure out, is this cool or not? Does this seem like a cool company or not? Really? Yes, this is the seventh grade dance, okay? Are you cool? Are you one of the cool kids or not? That's what the homepage is. So you better be having some cool photos of you, not stock photos of the retired couple on the beach with the champagne or on the boat, wherever they are. You'd better be on that homepage, first of all. Second of all, they're going to go to the team bios section. So those bios had better not be like every single financial advisor bio goes, which is, I've been in the business for 20 years. I have a bachelor's in finance or a CFP or I'm a CFA or whatever it is. And I put the needs of the clients first. I'm a fiduciary. I'm a fee only financial advisor. Say something more interesting than that. Like, I'd rather hear you talk about your love life in your bio. Sorry, I really would. Say something that'll like shock and amaze me in your bio, right? Those are the two main pages people are going to look. Then if they like you, they're going to look at services, and then they're going to look at fees. That is the sequence that people are going to go in.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense.
Okay, good. So now, Jared, give me three takeaways here about like someone. What are the three things though that you feel like are the most important parts of a website?
You're saying as a whole?
Yeah, like, or just about, if I were a financial advisor looking to improve my website today, mm-hmm. what three pieces of advice would you, see, this is what sleep deprivation does to you, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. I mean, I want to just thank you all who have been on my podcast as listeners and like have stuck with me through like pregnancy when I couldn't talk, winter when I had like sinus infection galore for like 2 months in a row, couldn't talk. Now, like I had the baby here, and like, thank you all for putting up with me is just what I got to say. Okay. Anyways. Yeah. Tell me, what are three pieces of advice you would give to me if I'm a financial advisor and I come to you and I say, oh, my website stinks, I want to fix it. What are three things you would say to me?
Yeah. I mean, I would say in general, you know, besides for the less is more, right? Like that's a given.
Well, yeah. So one sentence communications. If you can communicate in one sentence, for goodness sake, do it.
Right. Right. I would say also, in general, along lines with the less is more bit is make your site as, like you said, succinct. And also, I mean, I'm just picturing like a simple, what's called responsive website. And a responsive website is when you go to a website and it, like, let's say you go to it on your desktop or laptop, and then you go to it on your phone, and the web page has shrink down to fit the size, like to adapting to the size of your screen.
Oh, like mobile responsive, they call it?
Mobile responsive.
Oh, exactly. See?
So in general, it's
I'm
really
so smart. I'm so
You are. So in general, it's really important to have a mobile responsive website because we've all been, and we don't see it that often anymore, but a lot of outdated websites, we do see it, and a lot of them do happen to be in the financial services industry. For example, you go to a website on your desktop and it works fine, and then you check it out on your phone later. And you have to like zoom in and scroll around and all that awkwardness. And that's really going to frustrate people. You know, more and more people are looking at their phones instead of their computers. And so it's really essential that you have a responsive website.
Yeah, even the senior citizens are.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Like my parents, like, you know, they don't use their cell. Like I remember when my parents first got cell phones, it was really funny. I think we were in college and my dad, or like right after college, which was like however many years ago, I don't even know. This is what happens when you have kids. You don't even know how old you are. You just lose track mm-hmm. of your life. But my mother bought my father a cell phone and my father used to use it as a light when he would get in his car at night.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like I've had four kids and my brother had kids, now they use the cell phone for like taking pictures and that's the primary use of their cell phone. But they do actually look things up, even like people who are 70, like they use their cell phones for internet surfing as well, everybody. Like don't just believe that retired people or senior citizens just sit there and shun technology, because they don't. It's a myth. My family is proof of it. You can come visit us if you want. I live in New York and just kidding.
So yeah, I think mobile responsive is the first one that comes to mind. I would say secondly is good imagery. You know, it's not that your images have to be amazing in general. Like it's good to have some professional headshots of you and or your team. That's important. But even just like, there's a lot of good free or inexpensive, high quality stock photos that don't look cheesy, but
you mean that don't look like the retired couple on the beach sipping champagne or on a yacht?
Exactly.
Or
I think of the, like super diverse group of people, all really, really smiling, very large, in an office, all giving a thumbs up to the camera, you know, like in general,
that would be cool.
I think if that picture really existed in real life and it didn't look cheesy, it would be cool. But
yeah, I like diversity on websites. Right. I know. Like I wrote this blog about it, how there's very few like mixed race couples. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, a lot of stock photography sites and companies now are taking really high quality stock images, representing things like diversity. And stock photography is really upping its game in terms of quality. So, but the thing is, if you have an outdated website, you know, maybe if you did the site 5-10 years ago, it's probably still using those awful old stock images, and people are going to get a really artificial bad feel from looking at those bad images, right? Obviously, imagery is not the point of your site, but it keeps people engaged and trusting you. And if they see like silly looking, cheesy, outdated images.
That look like from the year that Michael Jackson had his first hit single.
Right, right. Then, yeah, or they're like blurry or pixelated or whatever. It's just going to send that like, it's just going to turn people off. So I would say like good quality imagery. There's so many ways to do that, like free or inexpensively now, that there's no excuses not to do that, right. Or not to have good images. And then lastly, I would say, let's see. I mean, I would say two things, if you don't mind. Make it a full four.
Oh,
thing.
Well, you know,
because the fourth thing.
Not doing
thing
what I asked time. You to do, but you know, I have four kids, so I'm
following
used
directions.
To this. Right.
So the fourth thing is small. So the third thing is in general, and you, Sarah, are an expert at this. Is I would try to empathize with the users a little bit more. And so what I mean by that is like paint a clear picture of the kinds of people that you help and what you stand for. So instead of being like, and I know you're all about niches, Sarah. So for example, instead of being like, hey, we help you, we're financial advisors and we help you plan for retirement. Like that's pretty broad. A lot of people do that.
Boring.
What about, you know, where the, we help, you know, I think you've used this example before, like veterinarians retire early. You know, maybe that's a little bit too niche, but the point is you want to appeal to someone in particular, or you appeal to nobody. So say a little bit about the ideal clients you work for, and then also, you know, what you stand for, like why that matters. I think that's really, really important. So that you, when your ideal prospect comes to your website, they're like, oh my gosh, this is the person for me. I need to fill out this contact form. And that brings me to my fourth and very, very small point, is just making it a very clear, obvious call to action. So it's good to have like a newsletter sign up, for example, but that's really a secondary call to action. And the ultimate one is just making it really obvious for someone to take the next step. So a get in touch or a contact button at the top of your navigation, maybe at the bottom of your site on some or all of your pages as well, that just takes them to a very simple contact form where they can fill out the bare amount of information, you know, something like their name, how'd you hear about us, how can we help you, and their phone number. Just the basic information you need, so that when you see that contact form come into your email inbox, you can quickly see, oh, you know, this person's worth chatting with. I'm going to give them a call, or I'm going to shoot them an email so they can come into the office. So those are my, let's say, 3.5 big tips.
Yeah. If we round up, then it's 4, but that's okay.
sure.
So yeah, totally agree with you. Like, keep in mind too that not everybody is going to be patient with you if you don't have a phone number there that's really easy. Like, no one's going to fish around. They're going to go to the next suitor. Oh my gosh, my baby's crying. I better go pick her up. But they're going to go. Can y'all still hear me? They're going to go to the next person because there's just. Do you agree with that, baby? Cry if you agree with that. No, just kidding. I don't like it when you cry. They're just going to go to the next website because there's too many websites out there. Like, you think you're the only person? There's no way that you're the only person they're looking at. It's like the dating game. You never go on just one date, you know?
And Sarah, on that note, one of the reasons that less is more is so important is if you're familiar with the paradox of choice, which is a very famous proven concept. I think originally came out of this experiment that's pretty popular, where there was a test of people setting up with jams in a grocery store, and one kiosk had 24 jams to choose from, and the other one had 6 jams, and far more people made a decision at the stand with 6 jams than they did with 24, because if you have too many options, it's overwhelming, and that person will not make a choice. So to clarify on that and your point further, it's like if you have too much content or too many options or too many places to click, they're just going to not make a decision and they're just going to go somewhere else where it's easier to navigate and make that decision.
Yeah, I hear you. Less is more for sure. And that's a great way to wrap up this podcast here because I get to go pick up my kids from daycare. So Jared Gold website expert, Brevity Digital, website by tonight. I'm going to include those links at the bottom in the show notes. Thanks, Jack.
Always a pleasure chatting. Thank you, Sarah.
Keep okay, up the cool. Great- oh, thanks, bud. Okay, and so everybody listening, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, and then send it to a gazillion people that you know so that I can become famous like Cardi B. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.